Hello and welcome to I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 2, episode 22, The Showdown.
I feel I should open by saying that if I sound a bit, you know, weird, it's because I've literally just spent 15 minutes sobbing uncontrollably at the new Disney advert that's just come out. It's so sad. Aww. So many
Is it for Christmas?
It's their Christmas ad and it really...
But also, don't give your money to big companies this Christmas. Shop local.
Agreed. A strong agreed.
Even if their adverts are tear-inducing and... It is emotional terrorism.
I have
taught many classes on this. It is emotional terrorism.
I feel exhausted. Anyway, other important thing to point out, just in case it probably will come up later in this episode, Kerry is in a tent right now. A recording tent.
For now, I feel like perhaps this may be even making it worse, so I might come out of the tent. But we'll see.
Recording from home is always fun. Woo!
Also, maybe this is a good segue, but this is the exact spot I will be recording from on the day of our live episode.
Yes, we've announced that, haven't we? How exciting. So if you've not seen on our socials at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram, we are doing a live show for the final episode of season 2 of the OC. It's going to be on Friday the 20th of November, 7 p.m. UK time. Come and hang out with us. It's going to be fun. You sign up via Eventbrite. The link is on our socials. And yeah, you just get to listen to all the bloopers that we normally edit out.
Yeah, that'll be fun for you.
Can't wait.
No, seriously, it will be fun. I'm really excited to actually have a situation where when we're talking, other people can... kind of put their hand up to interject with their own thoughts as well.
Definitely.
Like, I think that's going to be real fun. We should also probably say that at the moment we're trying to keep the numbers to a reasonably manageable amount.
So we don't get stage fright, mainly.
Yeah. And a huge thanks to everyone who's already purchased the tickets are free, who has already purchased a ticket via Eventbrite. If you are interested, better to be safe than sorry. And yeah, get in there soon and grab some tickets. I believe that actually with the current situation, and we're recording this on Monday, we only told people about it yesterday, but more than half the places are already taken. So get
registered in there early to avoid disappointment.
Yes, exactly. Okay, let's get on with this. Previously on the OC.
Last time. Oh, we had the whole Seth licking the whipped cream off that bird. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Summer obviously saw on cable and then kiss Zach as a weird sort of anger revenge situ. Caleb wants a divorce from Julie, kind of. That was a couple of episodes ago, but he kind of wants a divorce, but then was like, oh no, I'll try again. And then Kirsten's hitting the bottle because she's sad that Carter is leaving. She kissed Carter. It was all kind of like weirdly romantic, like more of an emotional affair than a physical affair, I would say. Apart from, you know, that one snog, that one time. And the big one, Trey tried to assault Marissa. That's a biggie.
Yes.
It's probably a good point, actually, to put a little trigger warning in this one. Last week, we had quite a serious one because we had a really big conversation about the actual physical situation that happened with Marissa. This episode still has a trigger warning. It's still something we're going to be talking about, but more of the after effects and what happens afterwards rather than the act itself. So if you're not feeling that that is for you today, that is perfectly okay. Maybe skip on an episode when the next one is up. If not, head back, listen to another one. Somebody was watching what was the Valentine's one where Sandy got up
the power of love.
The power of love. Someone was rewatching that over the weekend, so go back and watch that. It's a great one. Listen to that episode. There was lots of singing, if memory serves me well.
Also, can I just say, going back to that conversation last week, I 100%, I'm so glad that I said what I said about it's how they will now deal with it, because that has absolutely confirmed everything that I was worried about. Because, yeah, they do not deal with the aftermath of this well at all.
I had some interesting thoughts. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Of course.
I had some interesting thoughts.
Okay.
Anyway, should we dive straight in with Kirsten shoving some vodka into her tomato juice?
Yeah, we Bloody Mary to start Kirsten's day. And she's hiding it. Is the main thing. And she's quite good at hiding it. You know, as soon as she hears Sandy sort of walking in, she goes to the fridge and she's like, oh, hey, I put your stuff on the side, or whatever it was that she said.
Yeah. A very good liar. A very subtle liar.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I suppose that is a whole waspy thing, isn't it? Being able to lie and manipulate.
Lie on demand.
Let's just get this straight right here. Sandy looks nothing like Tony Blair.
I wondered what you were going to say about that. Even like early noughties Tony Blair.
Nothing like him. No way.
Okay.
No
way. Well, Kirsten thinks that he does, except with better hair. But I mean, she's drunk, so what does she know?
Well, exactly. So Sandy suggests that they go to Palm Springs for the weekend. He's all very much about it.
She's a bit nonchalant, isn't she? She's like, oh, yeah. I'm working. Oh, I don't really know if I can. But then the boys interrupt, don't they? They come in because they're getting ready to go back to school. First time back at school since spring break. Spring break.
Yeah.
And Seth is coming to the conclusion that he has to tell Summer about the whipped cream thing, because even if she doesn't know, she'll find out. Valid point. Mm-hmm. But Sandy says the line, when you start hiding things, that's when the trouble starts.
Yes.
Which seems to be a little catalyst for Kirsten to put the Bloody Mary into the sink and be like, actually, I'll take Monday off. Yes, let's do this Palm Spring thing.
Now, we've just literally finished saying that she's good at hiding things, but why the hell does she not pour out? Like, surely if you were going to try and hide that, you would pour out the rest of the drink and rinse the cup and put it straight into the dishwasher.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, rather than leaving it there for Sandy to just get a sniff on. Silly, silly mistake.
But is that not the whole shtick with vodka, is that it doesn't smell of anything?
Pass. Don't know. Don't know very much about vodka, actually. It's not my jam.
But yeah, the conclusion is Sandy has a big sniff of her glass and is like, oh no.
Did you get the impression that there was a history of alcoholism with Kirsten here? Like, obviously I've seen it before, so I obviously know about the whole scenario with like her mum and stuff. But even watching it again as a fifth, sixth, whatever time viewer, I was like, the fact that he immediately goes to sniff that suggests that he already had a suspicion.
Yeah.
Which suggests that he either has been through this before with her.
Yeah.
Or that it's definitely like in some way familiar territory.
I agree, because I was like, would I sniff someone's glass? I don't think I would, but I'm not very suspicious in that respect.
Don't be suspicious.
I'm not, sorry. Don't worry. Anyway, but yeah, I thought it was quite a weird move. So it does kind of imply that he has reason to be suspicious. So yeah, I see where you're coming from. But also, it could just be they've not thought about that and they've just put it in there because they need to move the storyline on.
Yeah, as with all things.
Yeah.
Okay, Marissa is all bruised. She's fingering her bruise.
This looks so sore.
Yeah, it does. I don't really understand how she got that bruise there, though, because when you look at what happened, did he push down on her?
Yeah, maybe if he pushed down on her collarbone. Yeah. I get it. Plus, if she's anything like me, I bruise like a peach, and like anything collarbone-esque, like see where the skin is thin, especially, that's why it looks so nasty. Before we get into the serious business of like the conversation with Trey, how cute was her blazer? I was into it.
Yeah, she does look cute these days.
Short sleeve, kind of orange tweed-esque blazer. But do you remember when blazers were like the fashion thing of the noughties? I blame Alexa Chung.
Oh yeah, I remember Alexa Chung. She's so cute.
She is. She does a really good YouTube thing. I'll send you a link. It's real good. Anyway, Trey's on the call.
Trey phones. I have written 100% hang up, which she immediately did after she was like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So he's obviously trying to get in contact with her to talk to her. And 100% understand. But as much as I'm always saying, everyone should just talk to everyone, this is one scenario where I'm like, no, like, don't talk to him. Like, don't engage with him. No.
Well,
that's
she has
fine.
No responsibility to talk to him. Like, if she exactly. did choose to talk to him, obviously, she's perfectly entitled to. But if she chooses to put up that wall and be like, no, don't speak to me, don't look at me, fuck off.
Yeah.
She's perfectly entitled to.
Anyway, then we're left at Trey's place at the end of this phone call, and bloody Jess Slavers is there again.
She is the worst.
She is the worst.
I think she's the worst character we've come across so far.
Worse than Oliver?
Worse than Oliver. I said it. Jess Slavers is worse than Oliver.
And then he turns her down, like, she's like, oh, are you ready for, like, a little something? Yeah. And he turns her down. And then she was like, I think you're taking me for granted. And I was like, babe, 100% you're being taken for granted. You've just said all of the things that are happening that prove that he is taking you for granted. Like, why? You've just called the situation. Why are you still...
But she also initiated the situation. Like, you can't get on your high horse of you're taking me for granted when you have pretty much forced yourself.
Yeah, when you're always the one.
Yeah. So, you know.
He has never once sought her. Well, we've never seen once him seek her out, him contact her, him, you know, and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was a weird thing for her to say. Anyway, Seth and Summer. He is going to apologise. She already knows. She saw it on the TV. She's not angry. And I was like, haha, yes. Like, see that point where you're just, like, you're at the end of your tether with somebody, you're like, look, I'm not even upset about how you're behaving. Like, you treat me like crap so often that, like, I'm just used to it.
Yeah. I think that is the most dangerous point of anger.
Yes.
Where you've passed being angry and you're now just like, whatever.
Yeah, okay, cool, fine. So then she tells him that her and Zach kissed, and Seth says he's okay with it, clearly is not okay with it.
Yeah, because he goes straight into being like, so what else happened?
Yeah. And then she goes straight into the line that I think is so important for everyone to consider, which is, it shouldn't be this hard. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying that relationships don't deserve work and that as soon as anything untoward happens, you should just, you know, hightail and off you go. That's not how a relationship works, and that's not healthy either. But I think she's right. You know, it gets to a point where if things are just difficult all the time, you need to stop and assess and just think, you know, really, should it be this difficult to maintain a relationship that makes me feel valued and that makes everybody feel like they're having fun and you know,
what was it she said something before as well where she was like, you haven't changed at all, you're just finding new and more public ways to disappoint me. If that isn't a signal for a breakup, I don't know what is. There's also, like, I don't mind having arguments. I think arguments are quite healthy.
Agree.
As long as you come to a conclusion at the end and you're not having the same argument over and over and over again.
I do, yeah, I totally agree. I actually find it as a bit of a red flag when people say, like, oh, I don't do arguments. I'm like, well, how do you resolve anything? Like, how do you move past things if you're not willing to potentially have a disagreement and have it out? And I'm not saying screaming, shouting, throwing things, of course not, but like just a conversation where you have a disagreement, which I think sometimes people consider, you know, conversations with opposing viewpoints to be an argument.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily what that is.
Yeah. You're allowed to have different opinions with people you love.
Yeah. And you should be able to hash that out with someone that's, you know, serious about your relationship and moving that forward and stuff. Yeah. That's not a strange thing. And I would say it's probably more unhealthy to avoid all of that altogether.
Yeah. And it's the same in friendships as it is in relationships.
Exactly. Like, that's what I mean by relationship. Yeah. And letting things fester is never good. Just have it out and then move on. Have it out and go and have a beer. You'll be fine.
When you're allowed to have a beer. Otherwise, have a Zoom beer. It'll be just as fun, I promise.
Exactly. Anyway, Caleb and Julie, she has made him my favourite breakfast of all time. Eggs Benny. Mm-hmm. Eggs Benedict Cumberbatch, my fave.
I thought this was really cute. See, when she was like, oh, I meant to get it for you at 7, but, you know, it took a lot longer than I thought. And, like, she is really trying. She's really trying.
I made a face there because I thought you meant the exchange was cute. Because I was no. Caleb is horrible to her here.
He's
like
so awful to her in this scene. And that, like, there's a scene later on as well where he's so, I was honestly so, like, sad. That is the emotion. I was just like, oh, Julie, babe.
I know. So he's ungrateful. He doesn't want it. He's already had breakfast. He also makes the point of, like, you made eggs Benedict. You spent 2 hours making eggs Benedict for someone who's just had a heart attack. I was like, eggs Benedict is delicious, heart attack or no heart attack, just saying.
And then she's like, why do I even try? And he's like, I asked myself that same question. You were the one that said you wanted to try, Caleb.
Exactly.
Talk about mixed signals.
So Ryan and Marissa have a weird, awkward exchange in the hallway. She says that she's just not used to the hallway kiss yet. She's being very standoffish and understandably doesn't want to let him
touch
close
her.
To her, or touch her, because obviously she has these bruises that he might see. She doesn't know how to speak to him about what happened. She's going through a lot.
She's probably pretty traumatised as well from having that experience.
And she's obviously got the added thing of the fact that that's his brother, so she doesn't know whether to tell him or not. But I have written, I couldn't remember exactly what happened here, but I've written, he is definitely going to think that something happened between her and Trey. He's going to jump to conclusions, as he always does. You could almost see the storyline play out before you even
especially
watched it.
When he was like, oh, did anything happen? Anything crazy happen while I was away? Like, it was, I just, I felt really bad for Marissa in this point, especially like when you look at how Ryan's reacted to everything to do with her before now. You're just like, well, of course you wouldn't want to tell. Like, if someone's going to go off the handle or be, you know, that try and save you, overreact, be really angry, why would you feel comfortable talking to them?
Exactly. So Kirsten is in her office and someone comes in and they're like, oh, hey, we were clearing out Carter's office and we found this. It was to be left for you. And I thought, that's a weird way to give someone a gift. Just leave it in your office and hope that when they're tidying up, someone will pass it on. Like, what?
Do you know what I found really traumatizingly triggering about this parcel?
Was it how ugly the necklace actually was?
No, not that. Okay. It was, so see the gold box with like the red ribbon and the kind of the size of it? Mm-hmm. It looks exactly like the present that Snape is giving the, you know, in Love Actually, when he goes to Mr. Bean to get the necklace wrapped up. It's the exact same packaging. Okay. And it's the one that Emily or his wife finds thinking she's getting the necklace, but then she doesn't. She gets a Joni Mitchell. She's like, God. That scene, it just reminded me of that. And I was like, oh, man.
Now, if you found that emotional, just her talking about that, strap in, because I'm about to tell you something super sad about that.
Oh, no.
So, apparently,
I'm still recovering from the Disney advert.
Apparently, Emma Thompson has said in interviews about that scene that she genuinely was, when she was listening to that Joni Mitchell, she genuinely was like, that reaction was real, because everything about that scene, she said, triggered her breakup with Kenneth Branagh and all the stuff that happened there. So when she was like crying about like the loss of her husband, or like her husband cheating on her, the realisation that her husband had been unfaithful, that was when like she, it all came back to her. Because Kenneth Branagh cheated on Emma Thompson with Helena Bonham Carter back in like the 90s, the 80s, the 90s. And she said it was very triggering for her to film that.
Oh, Emily.
I know. Emma, not Emily. Emma, I've just said Emma like 500 times.
Sorry. You know I'm bad with names. Well, that was suitably traumatising. Let's move on.
Anyway, Carter has left her an ugly gold necklace with a feather on it.
I'm not that offended by it.
It is horrible. Okay, moving on. Zach wants to talk to Summer. Understandably, he wants to know what the kiss was all about.
Do you not think it was pretty astute that he was like, was that just a revenge thing? I don't think I would have thought about that if I was 16.
Yeah, you would have. You would have. If she was already going back out with her old boyfriend and then she kissed you, you would definitely be like, what was that about?
No, I'd be like, what's that about? But I wouldn't have thought, is that a revenge thing?
Nah, yeah. With all the shenanigans that the three of them have been, definitely. I didn't think that was particularly wise of Zach or whatever.
Well, him and Summer are chatting, and then he's like, was it revenge or was it something more? And she was like, oh, it was a bit of both.
Mm-hmm. And then this is when Seth comes up and he's like, blah, 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 blah.
My old friend, the big fat traitor.
Yeah. And then Zach basically decides that he's going to quit the comic for Summer.
Yeah.
If it's a choice between Summer and the comic, then I'm quitting the comic. And I was like, great, cue a fight for this girl. Yeah. Like, this is just going to be a massive fight. And then they do actually end up on the phrase, it's war.
Ugh, heavy eye roll. I did enjoy the little exchange where Seth was like, I thought you were a nice guy. And mm-hmm. Zach turned around and he's like, wake up, Seth. I'm a water polo guy. We're not nice guys.
Yeah. Which is totally incongruous to everything that he is about and every way that he acts.
But it just made me laugh.
So then we've got, it's not the first in Trey's problematic behaviour, of course, but an extremely creepy escalation in Trey's attempts to speak to Marissa. He turns up at school.
Yeah, it's very predatory, isn't it?
Yes. Can you, all I could think was when she sees him and she kind of hides behind that tree, I just thought, can you imagine how she feels at that moment? Like, having gone through all that, having him constantly harassing you, trying to speak to you, and then you're in a place that you believe that you are safe.
Yeah.
And then round the corner, bang, there they are. Like, that is awful.
Yeah.
100%. Awful, awful, awful.
It's just that thing where it's like, if somebody says to you, and I know this situation's a little bit different, but if somebody says to you, I don't want to talk to you, or I need some space, or I need time to think, whatever that conversation is, you need to respect their boundaries.
Yeah.
And he is, I mean, let's face it, his track record for respecting boundaries isn't very strong at this point, but like, to then be trying to apologize, I guess, to try and make amends and just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing is horrific.
But this is the thing, right? What I do get it. Like, the thing is that the reason that he wants to apologise is not actually to apologise. It's so that he can absolve himself of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. That's what this is all about. It's not actually about saying sorry to her.
Or make sure that Ryan doesn't find out.
Exactly. Anyway, right. So, in the kitchen of the Cohen household, Sandy has drunk all the tomato juice. Oh, sorry, I've drunk all the tomato juice.
There's only coffee left, sauce, babe.
Yeah. She says that she cannot go to Palm Springs. She's got so much work to do. She can't take the Monday off.
Did you notice she was wearing the necklace?
Yes, she's wearing the necklace. She does not give Sandy a kiss. She goes to leave and he says, what, I don't even get a kiss anymore? And she's like, oh, of course. And then that's the point where he notices the necklace.
Yeah.
And she lies and says that she picked it up at the gift shop when they were at Featherbrook.
Yeah.
At the wine tasting. And he says, oh, it looks really nice. It suits you.
Yeah. Would you have, if you were Sandy, do you think you would have confronted Kirsten at this moment?
About what?
About the fact that she was drinking. And because I was thinking about that, because I was like, you know, having difficult conversations, especially one that's maybe not reactionary, time sensitive, like, it's quite difficult to bring up a conversation if you're like, oh, I'm worried about you, or we need to talk about this, without it being like, we need to talk about this. And then you have that conversation later and it's like that weird build up all day where you're like, oh God, we need to talk about this later. Like, I thought it was interesting that he didn't just confront her then and then. That's what
I think it's good in that it's a great representation of how to go about these things. So Sandy notices the problem and he takes time to consider how to approach it rather than just having it out straight away. And then again, like you're saying, he doesn't do that. We need to talk about this later. He keeps quiet until the moment that it needs to happen, which seems like a sensible, grown-up, mature way to deal with these things, because the reality would be, if you're asking me what I would have done, as soon as I'd picked up that tomato juice in the kitchen sink, I would have been through to the bedroom and been like, why have you just scooped a vodka for your breakfast?
I would have been the same. He's a real grown-up.
He's a real grown-up. Anyway, the diner with the Cribs, hey Scenesters.
Yep.
And Reed and Zach is quitting the comic. He's just coming to say what he's to tell her in person. He's quitting. Yeah. She's raging. She's like, no, you're no. And I've got hundreds of lawyers. So unless you want to be fighting a law battle for the next 4 years, then get a crab sandwich down you and let's get talking.
Yeah, I just thought it was like such a fierce move. She was just like, boom, boom, boom. I was like, whoa, okay. I would mess with you, Reed. So about that. Should we head over to Caleb being a penis?
Yes. So Julie and Caleb are in their house. She suggests marriage counselling. Mm-hmm. He's out. He doesn't want any part of it. He's not the counselling kind of guy.
Yeah.
But then he kind of is like, oh, actually, well, maybe you have a point. And I was like, what is going on here? One minute he's like, oh, yeah, okay, counselling might work. Oh, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm just not that kind of guy. Like, he's all over the place, And I couldn't really understand why. Were they trying to paint that he wasn't sure? Because that doesn't come across at all. He seems very dead set on the fact that they're going to divorce.
Yeah, I just, like, I thought, like, so back when he was like, oh, I want a divorce. No, actually, let's try. I thought that was a point where he was like, oh, no, actually, I do have feelings for you. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, is this just a ploy? Is he setting her up for something? And then this whole episode, I'm just like, I don't understand why she isn't just like, mate, do one. Like, this is too much. Yeah, no, I just, like, she's all like, you said you wanted to try. I've been trying. You've clearly not been trying. And then he hits out and he's like, oh, let's go for a date tomorrow night at the Arches. We can make it work. I was like, what the f-? Talk about hot and cold, Caleb. Like, this is not okay, hon.
I know.
He also gets that letter, doesn't he? And I was like, that's definitely the photos. Nothing's come of that yet. That's definitely the photos of her kissing Watsy's chops.
Lance. Right, then we get Kirsten coming home in a beautiful blue skirt. An absolutely gorgeous outfit for Kirsten.
Yeah, good outfit. It was very it was very you, actually. I could see you in something similar to this outfit.
She ascertains whether Sandy is in or not. She deems that he is not. So the first thing she does is call Carter to say thank you for the necklace and then immediately changes her mind and says, oh, I shouldn't have phoned you. Don't call back. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
I think that just kind of like shows, I guess, in her character that she's a bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Like to have that quick of reaction. As if when you're leaving a voicemail, you don't think out in your head exactly what you're going to say or you hang up and you do one properly.
Like, yeah. Also, do they not have in America the thing where you can like re-record your voicemail?
Yeah. Weird.
You know, here you have the thing where it's like press 3 to re-record this message.
I just I can't get a vibe in her emotions here. Like, is it guilt? Is it sadness? Like, especially it kind of comes a bit clearer later on, but in this scene I was like, what's going on here? Like, it's very confusing. And then she starts chucking back the vodka again, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. Right, Ryan and Jess, he calls her trouble.
She is trouble.
She is trouble. I've also written, she is so annoying.
She has like, great
the
hair,
most
though.
Annoying.
Really good hair.
Trey ambushes Marissa again.
Yeah.
This is where he's at her car and then Ryan shows up.
Yeah.
And then they have this weird thing where he's like, oh, I was just here to thank Marissa for the bait shop gig. And then he's like, oh, well, let's all go for lunch. And Marissa's like, no, I can't. No. I've got to go home.
Bye.
Yeah, and everyone's so awkward, so it looks like even more suspicious, which adds more fuel to the Ryan thinking something's happened between them fire.
I did not see this next scene coming where we cut to Kirsten on the sofa and Sandy coming home with the big bunch of beautiful flowers and she's on the sofa. I was like, oh my God, is she dead? Like, what? where is this going? Like, what is happening? But it turns out she's not dead. She's just dead to the world because she's drank too much vodka.
She is what we would call in Scotland comatose with the booze.
Also, how has she not been sick? Like, if I drink to that state, I've spewed down myself on the sofa. I've spewed everywhere by this point.
Yeah, she just looks like neatly placed on the sofa in a passed out state, looking quite nice.
Yeah, her makeup's still great. Yeah. Why has she not been crying? Why is there not mascara all down her face?
Why are like all the cushions from the couch not scattered all over the living room and stuff's just everywhere. Anyway.
But he puts her to bed, doesn't he?
Yeah, he puts her to bed and then we've got this weird time hop where we go straight to the next morning.
Yeah.
And he makes her this beautiful breakfast in bed. It's very, very cute. I've written, she absolutely does not deserve this.
No. She also looks being amazing. Like, if I ever looked like that when I was hungover, I'd be like, whoo-wee, what?
Yeah.
He's also got the little flower. I was just like, this is too cute, Sandy. Yeah. Too cute.
And then he straight up just tells her that he's worried about her drinking.
Yeah. And she keeps saying, I'm fine. She's like, I'm fine. I'm just exhausted. I had a tough week.
Yeah. And he gives her plenty of opportunity to open up and confess, like, is there a problem? Should I be worried? He puts it back onto himself, that very clever, not very clever, but that very emotionally intelligent thing of, like, don't blame someone for what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, put it back onto you. Like, should I be worried?
Yeah.
Is there a problem that I need to be considering here?
Yeah.
But
she gets quite defensive, doesn't she? She's like, very defensive. Watching me. And he's like, well, we live together. Like, you're also my wife. Like, chill out. And it's very, I'm concerned.
And then he asks if it's Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asks if it's Carter is leaving. But then obviously what he means, he clarifies what he means is his sudden departure would mean that Kirsten had additional work to do.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't want this breakfast. I'm not even hungry.
Yeah.
And then storms off to the bathroom. Off,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're rude. Okay.
It's also that way where it's like, if she is trying to cover up the fact that she's had this emotional affair with Carter, she's not doing a very good job. Like, come on now.
Yeah. I know. Also, if you're trying to pretend that there's not a problem, she's also doing a terrible job. Like, you know when, like, things like that happen and you're just not hungry? Like, I can see, like, her being like, I'm not hungry. But if you're trying to be that deceptive, you would at least bloody eat a piece of toast. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
this is where we go to the Star Wars game, isn't it? The boys are playing PlayStation. I'm not a big gamer, so I have nothing to comment on this scene. But I'm guessing it was new out at the time because there's a good focus on it.
No idea.
Okay.
No idea. Anyway, Ryan admits that Marissa has been acting weird around him.
Seth was acting nervous.
Nervous,
which is, again, very observational.
Yeah. And Seth suggests talking to Trey, which is obviously a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get this whole thing of, like, Seth is using the comic book club to spy on Zach.
Which I'm
to
obsessed
see.
With.
Yeah. So he's told the comic book club that Zach is trying to sabotage the comic book club. actually he's using them to spy on Zach and his goings-on with Summer.
Yeah. Summer sporting another blazer. Clearly it's peak blazer fashion times in this episode.
And then we get this sneaky little, like, oh, like him turning up and being like, I'm just going to go and drop this little bomb into this conversation and then leave, about how Zach's not quit the comic book club.
Yeah.
And Summer's like, what?
Did you not find it really weird that when they came out, she's like cuddling into him like you would a boyfriend?
Didn't notice it.
Yeah. He's like, oh, sorry, you didn't tell her? Oh, did I just put my foot in it? Oh, whoopsie, sorry.
Yeah.
And then he just watches them argue. And it's quite funny because he's like, it's good face acting. I enjoyed it. It was funny.
And then we have Trey unloading the beer delivery and Ryan going up to him and saying, look, did anything happen? Like, what's going on? He straight up denies anything happened.
Yeah.
And says, oh, look, I need to get on with my work. Like, I don't want to be called a slacker, so we'll talk about it later, okay? And then he's like, all right, okay. And then bloody Jess Slavers turns up again, being all creepy.
I hate this. See if someone's, like, when someone's, like, because what is it? She's like, how could it be serious between us? He's completely obsessed with, oh, never mind. Like, you know, like, you're just like, just tell him. If you're going to tell him, just tell him.
Do you know what this is? This is like, see, when people go on Facebook and they post Facebook statuses and they're like, absolutely raging at the audacity of some folks. Don't know how to do it, whatever.
Worst.
And then they don't say anything. And then someone's like, oh, is everyone okay, babe? And then they're like, I'll PM you. I'm like, oh, take your drama elsewhere. Like, literally, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
And the people that are pretending to care about you
just want
to know the drama.
Yeah.
So don't even bother.
It's so attention-seeking. I have no time for it.
But then she also says the thing about the... Is this not where she says, turns out I'm not the only person into the brother thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Marissa is over at Summers, isn't she?
Yes.
She's like, what are you doing? And she's removing Zach and Seth from my life. She's taking down all the pictures. And then she finds one and she's like, I look cute in this picture, and like rips Seth out of it and sticks the one up of her. I'm like, yes, Summer.
Yes, gal. Yes, gal. And this is where Summer sees the bruise. Mm. Marissa kind of fobs it off and she's like, oh, it's nothing. I just fell over. Whatever. And then Summer's already too preoccupied with her whole situation. So she starts to potentially lay the blame at Reed's feet.
Yeah.
So she decides to go and confront her. In the meantime, Julie comes to visit Kirsten. Kirsten offers her a drink.
She's like, isn't it a little bit early?
Yeah. And then Kirsten makes the strongest drink in the world, apparently, according to Julie's face. And she says, oh, no, I just put in a normal amount. But a little signal that, like, she really is off the charts with her, like, measures and stuff.
Julie's really good in this scene, though, because she's like, look, I know I'm probably not the person you want to talk to about this, but, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And this is where we find out a bit more about, like, what Kirsten's thinking, which is really the first time we properly hear this since the whole Carter. Actually, really since the whole Rebecca thing. This is the first time we've really heard about this.
So they've been fighting since September. First the boys went away and then a wall went up between them over that. And then Rebecca came to town and then Carter came to town. And Carter made her feel like Sandy used to, which that's a dangerous
makes her feel less
place
alone.
To be. Like having someone who makes you feel the way that your partner used to make you feel.
Yeah.
That's a potent driver of emotion, I would say, for sure.
No, I completely agree. I think, like, this, we've kind of given Kirsten quite a hard time because there's been a lot of the time where you're like, what are you thinking? But when you actually think about it in that sense, you're like, that is really tough. If you feel you and your partner aren't on the same page anymore, that you're not in the same relationship you were in before, and then somebody comes along and makes you feel how you used to feel with them, that is a hugely confusing environment to be in.
I totally agree, but I feel like this has been written in as an afterthought to the script writing. Like, I don't think this is at all what they've intended for to be her reason, but they've gone, oh crap, we probably need to give a reason for why she feels this way. Or let's say that he made her feel, because there was no indication whatsoever throughout the Carter saga that he made her feel like Sandy used to make her feel. That was never a thing. It was never a thing.
Do you think they had a new scriptwriter in for this episode? Because I feel this episode's really stepped up a game. Like, I feel the dialogue's a lot better. It's a lot funnier. There's a lot more clarity. Like, I feel like someone's been off on holiday for a couple of weeks and then they're back.
No idea. Josh Schwartz went on holiday and everyone else was like, right, we can actually finally make this make sense.
Yes, agreed. Should we head over to the comic book launch?
Sure. So Summer confronts Reed at the comic book shop. She is like, is there a, what does she say?
Have they not made a super bitch character yet? Summer, come on.
And then Reed totally 180s her and reminds her that it's actually Little Miss Vixen that's going to be running the show. We're talking movies, we're talking, you know, action figures and whatever. And then Summer's like, well, I'd like this. You're manipulating me, but I like the sound of what you're saying, which I thought was very astute. I was like, yes. Right, Marissa and Ryan, they're at the pool house. He tries to talk to her. They start making out. She says she's fine. They start making out. And then we have this horrible scene where, like, she's, like, flipping between Ryan and Trey, and like he's kissing her but she's seeing Trey. It's very, very creepy and it actually goes on for a long time.
It made me quite stressed when I was watching it. Like I felt really stressed, being like, oh, just get off her.
But that's exactly what happens. She pushes him off, she freaks out, she runs away, she says, oh, I thought I was fine with this but too much has happened. And off she pops. I mean, again, I would usually be saying about Marissa at this point, oh, like, just talk to him, but this is completely understandable. Yeah. Like, I was like, I get this.
The other thing is, it wasn't that long ago. It was only, like, what, a couple of days ago, by the timeline? Yeah. And if she doesn't know how she feels, how can she talk to somebody else about it?
Yeah. So Kirsten and Sandy, Sandy says that they need to talk. Did something happen between you and Carter? And he just straight up
asks about it.
Yeah.
And she immediately goes on the defensive. And they have this sort of like little row about it. And I just thought, why does she not just tell him?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she just tell him everything that's going on at this point? But no, she continues to go on the defensive and nothing is resolved.
She brings up Rebecca though, which I thought was really interesting because I'd kind of forgotten about Rebecca, to be honest. And when you think about like what she'd said with Julie in the scenes before and kind of everything that's happened, I'm not saying that's an excuse for her and Carter, but you can definitely see how that domino effect has happened from all the events preceding this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the scene ends with her being like, you don't get it, do you? And I was like, well, how's he meant to get it if you don't tell him?
If you Exactly. That's exactly what I thought at the end of that as well. Right, the comic book reading. Seth has been reading for 45 minutes longer than he was supposed to. Is anyone surprised?
Not me.
No, I don't think so. The boys have this little fight over the water. Like Seth sits down and then Zach's like, no, that's my water. And they're like bickering with each other. Which is all put to a halt as Summer steps out dressed as Little Miss Vixen, including the new addition of a whip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't, whips aren't sexy. It's not my jam. Whatever though. I really don't appreciate sexualizing 16-year-olds in that sense either. Really,
yeah, absolutely not.
There's an amazing book called The Lolita Effect. If anyone's mm-hmm. interested in some further reading, it's all about the sexualization of young girls and the idea of keeping women looking like children
yes,
in order to sexualize them in a childish way for male gaze. And it's an amazing book. It's really, really interesting. And it makes you think about loads of things. The one thing that really pops to mind is, I don't know if you'll remember, Britney Spears cover, I think it was NME or Rolling Stone, where she's in bed with loads of like toys around her, like bears and stuff, and she's holding that purple Teletubby. Mm-hmm. And she's like in these like kids' pants with like, they're like pale pink with a little ribbon on them. And at the time I was like, oh my god, that's so cool, she looks amazing, I want to look like that. Looking back at it, I'm like, why do you have a grown woman dressed like a child?
Like, I feel like we've talked about this before. I wonder if anyone who's listened to season one more recently would be able to tell us. I feel like we've talked about this before because I spoke about the maintenance of a pubic region being a link to exactly that, like the Lolita effect. Anyway, Julie is at the restaurant. She's like having a little laugh with the maitre d'. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, he's working. He's at the office. We're meeting at the restaurant as usual. Da, da, da. This woman comes up and she's like, hi, Miss Cooper Nichols, sign for this, please. And she signs for it. And of course, it is divorce papers.
She's been served her divorce papers.
She has been served at the restaurant.
Cold move from Caleb.
Yes.
So cold.
So then she's storms to him and she's like, I'm going to bleed you dry. Blah, 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 blah.
Prenup or no prenup.
Yeah. And then he whaps out the pictures and he's like, are you fuck, mate? Like, look at this.
Yeah.
And he's had her followed since before they got married.
Yeah.
He's basically got an entire dossier on everything that she's done outside of their marriage.
What a violation.
Completely.
But yeah, it's a healthy list though. Like, affair with your ex-husband, sleeping with your daughter's boyfriend, and then she's like, ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it any better, hon.
So he tells her that she's got a week to leave, and then I loved at the end, he's like, oh, and by the way, you're fired.
Do you know who else is fired this week, Kerry?
Oh, are we going to bring it up? Because
No, let's just say it in one line. Thank you, America, for voting well. It was very tight. Let's not forget a lot of people still do support Donald Trump. But Joe Biden came out victorious. I'm very interested to keep navigating the news between now and January for when that passover of the keys to the White House happens, because I think it's going to be very dramatic. But
this is more than one line.
Okay, very exciting, very good. a positive vote for democracy. Woo!
Well done, America, kind of. Okay, Little Miss Vixen. Seth apologizes, tells her that he loves her, thinks that he think I th- and he's like, I think you love me too. Blech. Zach interrupts, and then they actually start like physically fighting inside of
the curtain.
Curtain.
I love the fact because it's just like, stop scratching me, stop pulling my hair.
Yeah. And then someone accidentally hits Summer.
Yep.
And then she stops it by whipping them both with the whip.
Snaps the whip.
Yeah.
Oh, what is wrong with you? And they're like, you need to choose. And she's like, well, I choose neither of you. Grow up.
Hi, I choose neither of you gimps fighting in a blanket. Yeah. Bye.
And I love when Reed comes in and she's like, I don't care what's happening. Just tidy it up.
Yeah, just so fix good. It. Ryan calls Marissa, doesn't get much out of her. Sandy comes into the pool house. He's been out trying to find Kirsten. If she comes back, will you call? Well, actually, I was going to go and see Marissa. All right, okay. And I thought this is I understand that Sandy's obviously preoccupied with Kirsten. This was an interesting moment where they almost seemed like equals rather than father and son.
Yeah.
Which was strange given the circumstances. But anyway.
Also, shite move that neither of them have gone to the comic book launch. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I know. That's not okay. Pressure. I know. And then we get like this ramping up of Trey being like the creepiest creeper in the world. He just appears in her bedroom.
Yeah. But also lock your back door.
Safety police. Yeah, totally. Lock your back door. But this is, there is no circumstance, there is absolutely no situation in which this is okay. Like, nope. It is absolutely not okay for him to do this. And for him to even think that that is a valid option for a resolution is absolutely unbelievably insane. Like, absolutely not.
The only thing that I do want to point, like, I can understand that he wants to explain. Like, I'm not writing that off. Like, I can understand that he is frustrated and he wants to make amends for his reasons. But again, it's coming back to that thing that it's like, you are in the wrong. And you do not get to make that call on how it gets fixed. If it is fixable, that is not your decision. You broke it. It's not your decision as to how it gets fixed or if it gets fixed. And I've actually found this storyline really, really interesting because I think like this sort of behavior for me anyway has or had been really normalized, like boys kind of enforcing their will over you, not necessarily to the kind of level of rape, but that is that conversation around consent that and we kind of touched on this last week, that I definitely looking back, I'm like, man, I was not up for that, and they went there anyway, and I went along with it because I thought that was normal. I thought it was normal to, if you're not really into it, but they are, that you kind of go along with. Like, it's really made me question my level of knowledge of consent, especially in my like late teens, early 20s. But that is only because we have been talking about it and there's so much information available now about consent and about these conversations about consent. And you're right in that this has not been treated in a way that makes you think about consent. It's been treated in a way of normalizing that sometimes boys do this and, you know, they're going to force, like, do you talk to, like, I don't know, I just found it very confusing to watch in that sense.
I think even the fact that there's an ambiguity around like whether he's doing the right thing or not, like I can see people watching that and thinking, oh well, he's just, he really wants to apologize, he really wants to say
I felt that twinge of like, he just wants to apologize, you know, you should let him apologize. And then I was like, no like, and I found that juxtaposition really interesting,
difficult to
watch.
But we start to see a bit of rage bubbling in Trey. There's times where he's losing his temper. He becomes very threatening. Like, he has this facial expression of real anger towards Marissa.
What was that line because he says she that won't actually listen. Scared me? He was like, look, I said, and then he stops and starts the sentence again. And I was like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. He also uses part of his excuse is, look, it just happened. Not an excuse. No. Not an excuse, sorry, but no. He says he wants her to promise that she won't tell Ryan. Yeah. And that is horrendous. Like, if you're the person that's done something, like, you don't get to decide who she tells or doesn't tell. And this is a very controlling behaviour. It's him trying to control the situation after the fact.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about this that is okay.
Yeah. I found it really interesting that she isn't so much worried about it from herself. She's worried about it from Ryan. She's like, what about Ryan? He's your brother. Like, you don't even deserve him as a brother. And I think, like, for a lot of women, that's a very natural position to hold, is not to think about your own safety or your own consent or your own body. It's to think about the consequence for other people.
Well, I've got on that, I don't know that that is a natural thing for women to think. I think that is lots of conditioning.
Yeah, that's
because
what, yeah.
A man is more likely to respect another man than they are to respect you as a woman. So it's not that she just is naturally caring more about Ryan. It is because, you know, social conditioning will have told her subliminally that if, you know, he is more likely to respond positively if she brings Ryan into it than if she just brings it, keeps it to herself,
keeps it an issue about
being between her and him. And that is disgusting as well. Yeah. Like the fact that that's shown but not
discussed,
explained in any way or discussed in any way is again normalizing that thing of like, oh, well, if you're in danger, bring up the fact of another man.
A boy might find out and beat you up. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole wedding ring thing, isn't it? It's the whole, like...
ownership.
Anyway, the whole point is that he's not actually sorry. He just doesn't want Ryan to find out. That's his main modus operandi, is that he doesn't want Ryan to find out. Like, that's what this is all about.
I have a quick question, actually. Do you remember watching it at the time, if they had any, because you know a lot of the time on TV shows, if they do have a difficult conversation or a difficult subject, there's always a thing at the end that's like, if this has upset you or affected you,
I can't remember. Possibly if it was on E4 it might have had, but that's the job of the broadcaster and not the show in itself.
Just interesting.
So Ryan sees Trey as he leaves, and this again adds fuel to the fire of something's going on between Marissa and Trey.
Do you know, you don't really get much of a reaction from Ryan here. You just observe him observing Trey leaving. Mm-hmm. But straight away I was like, obviously he's going to jump to conclusions. That's exactly what's going to happen. Although he did comment earlier on the big bruise on the side of Trey's face and was like, how did that happen? Which made me be like, maybe he will not jump to that conclusion, you know? I don't know. That just kind of stuck in my head, that I was like, maybe it will go well. Maybe, hopefully. Blind optimism. Hi, I'm Heather and I've not seen it before.
Right. So last scene, Kirsten is at a bar.
Holy shit. Sorry. I did not see this scene coming.
Yeah. I didn't think you would. Yeah. She's at a bar. She's being very contemplative. She takes off the necklace. We kind of see her making that decision to stop being an idiot about Carter and go back to Sandy and make things work. She's in the car. She's driving after having a lot to drink. She calls Sandy. They're speaking on the phone.
Is she driving? What the fuck? What?
She drops the phone just after he's like, where are you? I'll come and get you.
Quite a nice conversation, because she's like, oh, I thought I was losing you. And there's almost that level of reconciliation where they both acknowledge this hasn't been okay, but we want to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she drops the phone.
She drops the phone, and then when she looks up, there's like a car almost crashed into her, and she like puts on the brakes and she's like, oh, and they get that moment of like, phew, like she didn't get in a crash. And then she looks to her right and there's this giant articulated lorry driving straight towards her, and smash, she gets T-boned by a giant truck. Yeah,
real bad.
What did you do? Did you scream?
No, I shouted holy shit, like honestly. Was like, what the fuck. I just did not see. Do you remember in Cold Feet?
No.
Oh, okay. There was a British TV show called Cold Feet. And at the end of the second series, maybe, that a woman gets wiped out in a car in a really similar manner. Like, she's trying to fix the tape player and then a truck takes her out. But honestly, I was shooketh. Shooketh. But also, don't drink and drive, and don't use your phone when you're driving. Two very valid lessons.
Yeah, completely. Okay, next time, what do you think?
I don't think Kirsten's dead because I've definitely seen pictures of her in the season 3 promos. So. She's okay. Not dead, I know that. I hope she gets the help that she needs. Mm-hmm. As I was saying with Ryan, there was a glimmer that he's not going to jump to the wrong conclusion, and I hope that's what happens, but I'm not optimistic. I think he's going to jump to the wrong conclusions. Will Marissa tell him as a subsequent consequence? I hope so. I hope Summer acknowledges that she needs to be a better pal and look after her friend who's clearly acting weird. Again, not optimistic. Julie, I'm worried about Julie. I'm worried about Juju. She's got a week to get out of that mansion. What's she going to do? What would I do? I don't know. I'd probably have savings because I'm not an idiot. That's my thoughts on next week. Yeah, because we're only on episode 22. There's still 2 episodes to go, the penultimate episode of season 2 and the season finale. So yeah, I guess it's got 2 episodes to kind of wrap up, eh? Do you think, I mean, you know the answer. I wonder if they'll leave it on a cliffhanger like they did season 1.
Who knows?
But yeah, probably should do a little shout out again for our live show. So if you enjoy listening to us every week, we are doing a live show on Friday the 20th of November at 7 p.m. UK time. Head to our socials at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram for more information. But it's a Zoom, bring a pint, it'll be great, we'll have fun. If you want to wear a choker, you're more than welcome to. I probably will.
Oh, happy days.
Listener of the week. You need to sing the song. That's how it works. Wonderful. Our listener of the week this week is going to somebody who we have both been chatting to on Twitter and Instagram. Tom Loftus. Is that how we're saying his
name?
Who has
I would
been
say Loftus.
Loftus.
But, yeah.
Tom Loftus. Special shout out. He has been excellent chat. We've been chatting about loads of things. We've been chatting about all the Americanisms that we're not 100% sure on. He's been watching from the start. So he's been going through and being like, this is what that is. Sweet. What was it? Candied yams. He was like, that's a thing. They put marshmallows in them. It's really gross.
Also, my biggest love of the conversation was that his wife knows a lot about the technicalities of a Grabo machine.
Yeah, right? It was amazing. Yeah. At one point, I had to message Kerry and I was like, you need to slide into the DMs because I've got a man talking to me about Grabos and that's not my area of expertise. Tag teaming in, you go. he's been excellent chat. We've been chatting about the election. We've been chatting about the OC. So yeah, wonderful to have a new listener. Wonderful to have a new pal in the group. I think he is actually coming to the live show, although I don't know what time that'll be in America. Sorry about that. Good fun times. I think he actually came to us through Abby, who was our special co-host on episode 17, The Brothers Grimm, when you were off that week. It's nice, a nice connection there. So thanks for listening. And if you want to get in touch or if you want to, you know, potentially be a listener of the week, follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, we always love Apple review. And if you want to follow us on wherever you listen, like Spotify and stuff, subscribe, follow, leave us a wee review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be real nice.
Yes, it would.
Are you not roasting in that little tent?
Yes, okay. I am.
I'll let you go and breathe some sweet, sweet fresh air.
Thank you.
Please go and open a window, get some oxygen. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.